You know what I thought this week, Tina? I thought being a parent is a lot like running a marathon.
It's exhausting.
Well, for multiple reasons. There's an awful lot of pain involved. Nobody really tells you exactly how much pain until you're in it.
Or how hard it's going to be.
Loads of people just go, oh no, absolutely not. Never. Not for me. Right?
And then end up doing one anyway.
And then end up doing one kid anyway. At times in it, you're going, why did I do this? Like, what the hell was the point of this? Who told me this was a good idea?
I think this analogy is too mean.
No, it's not. Because we all have those moments as parents where you're going, honestly, is this actually worth the pain?
Sure.
Yeah. We've all had those moments. And you similarly don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
And even the greats, the Kipchoges.
Yeah.
I can't think of parents that are doing it well. But everybody's bluffing it and learning. And everyone has a disaster along the way. There's some days it's just not your day.
Yeah.
I definitely am in the horrors at the moment with my marathon training.
Yeah, I think you've got residual fatigue or something.
Yeah, but that again, very similar to parenting.
Well, yeah,
and later on in the show, we do get an email that you are going to want to hear from a couple of parents. Two separate emails from parents, largely in that boat of going, I thought this was meant to be better than it is.
Yeah.
That's maybe the most honest emails we've received long time.
You know, Lily Allen said that having children ruined her career.
Did you read the full article?
No.
No.
I didn't.
And we're always We are always talking about that people go, did you hear the news?
I actually did hear, though, it's an incredibly powerful feminist perspective on parenting.
I didn't get to read it.
I'm really struggling with my eyesight. I have to get glasses and the print, I just couldn't get it to go big enough on my phone.
Okay. There's enough reasons for not reading the article, but whenever somebody tells me, did you hear the news?
I'm the main person
too. I need the full article.
That drives me nuts, so I can't believe I did it.
Because that person who they've written the piece and the headline is some throwaway remark I made in the middle of it.
So awful.
But it's a great way of getting a click or a half click, which is what you gave it.
Yeah.
Which is you scanned it with your eyes and went, Jesus, Lily Allen must be having a terrible time with the child. This week on the show, Tina, what questions do we have?
Jared loves in that to me because
she can never remember.
I go straight into a panic. Yeah. Well, actually, we've got two dad questions in. Mm-hmm. One about a stepdad, a stepdad who's struggling with his new family, and another dad who is in touch just with a girl dad and girl dad problems.
A hair issue.
Yeah, hair.
Yeah.
Hair. And then the last question we have
is about a potty mouth kid.
Oh, yeah.
This kid is filth, flarn, filth.
I know. That's a really cute one, actually. I
can't wait to talk about that one.
I remembered.
Were you a cursor as a kid, or were you a cursor in the house or outside the house but never in the house?
Oh, I definitely was a cursor as a kid because I got sent to the bald wall for cursing
when
I was in baby infants.
It's always fun when your wife tells you a story that you haven't heard before.
Oh, you
know,
after
you've been with her 24 years and she wheels out a story, you're like, haven't heard this one.
Someone called me Kylie Minogue or something and I took huge offense. I told him to fuck off. And I was right beside a teacher. I got sent to the wall. I was only in baby infants.
Is that not a compliment? What year was this?
I was 4 and a half. So.
So you're talking 1987?
No, I'm not that young. I'm talking 1985.
She was barely on the scene.
1985.
She only had her number one with Jason Donovan in 1987.
So maybe they call me Madonna.
Level of depth and knowledge of Kylie Minogue.
No, I think Kylie Minogue was around then.
Hmm.
But, we'll have to find out later.
She was only Charlene in Neighbours at that point.
I don't know. I just know someone called me Kylie Minogue and I told...
She still had a Jerry.
Maybe I was in first class then. Mm. But I told him to fuck off and I got caught because the teacher was beside me.
He was probably flirting with you.
No, it was a girl.
She was definitely not flirting with me.
Oh yeah, well, maybe she was.
And
but
did
we
you
were
say
right.
it in the manner in which you just said F off?
Oh yeah, when I was a kid I was always full force behind the fuck offs.
Right. I would never curse at home.
Really?
But you know what? I must have been such a good kid because I remember being at a race meeting at the Curragh race course. It was one of those evening meetings. Mm. early June and hearing another kid from my class curse. And I said, Laura Noon, I'm telling teacher.
That's not a good kid. That's a tattletale.
I know. I was like, but she looked at me and burst out laughing. She's like, we're at the races.
I love this girl.
Like, she's going, is he taking the piss? You're going to go back to school tomorrow and say, hey, teach.
What a cool girl.
This girl at the races. And she cursed. She's like, that's out of my jurisdiction.
But what a cool girl. She was so at peace with herself, obviously. Yeah,
well,
go
she
on.
She didn't say any of those words. She just laughed in my face. And years later, I realized why.
That's so funny. Yeah. I like her. I've never met her.
Laura Noon.
We got to meet up.
It's just a name that's in there. I really don't know what happened to Laura Noon. Email the show, honeyyou'reruiningourkid@gmail.com. Let's get straight down to business. I believe you just checked the level of my Kylie Minogue knowledge, and yeah, I was correct. It is 1987.
You were correct.
It was 1987 that a child accused you of being Kylie Minogue, and you told him to F off right into their face.
A girl, Emma Russell. I'll name her.
Oh, what a dig she took at you, calling you one of the most attractive ladies of the 80s. Every lad I knew loved Charlene from Neighbours.
Really?
Yeah. Little did we know, she would go on to be a famous arse.
Oh, yeah. Half sense.
I mean, this first question, immediately I thought about.
I'm just noticing how nice blue is on you, Jar. Why don't you wear more blue?
We have to make sure this is in the audio podcast. Question number one. Tina and Jarrett, I love your show. As a dad who feels like I'm walking through parenthood with my eyes half shut, I'd assume from tiredness, not really knowing what I'm doing, your podcast helps me feel like I can maybe someday get something right. That's bullshit, mate. I bet you're getting loads right.
Yeah.
And you're just being hard on yourself. I am a girl dad and don't know much about long hair. My daughter's hair is always knotting like crazy. I brush her hair after bath time, but there are so many again the next day.
Yeah,
tangledy hairs.
Yeah, that's normal.
Okay. I've literally never brushed long hair in my life.
I know. I wanted you to learn how to do hair just so you could do my hair.
It also seems like the brushing is damaging the hair. Is this normal?
Is he not
able to ask his wife these questions?
Maybe he's a single dad.
Right. Okay. Any tips or advice on how to manage her hair better? I'm trying my best, but there must be a better way. This guy emailed our show.
I know, I think it's the cutest email we've ever gotten.
To find out how to brush hair.
Yeah, but Gerald, he's like really concerned. Because you know what's probably happening.
What?
Screaming when he's trying to brush those knots out of there. Mm. I mean, loads of kids won't let you near their hair. Like, I mean, it's proper no-go zone. So, do I have tips? Of course I do, because it's my favorite topic. Oh, I mean, I'm the teacher.
Tina wants to do a kids' beauty podcast.
Yeah, the teacher who, if you send your child to school, they will come home with a different hairstyle. And it will be a braid, because I will braid that kid's hair. First of all, because I don't want to get nits.
You get in trouble for braiding kids' hair when they haven't asked the parents, like,
Someone who braided my kid's
hair.
No,
but I saw that in the news recently that there was a mom who was really angry at the teacher. But no, I mean, most moms of like tiny kids know that whatever way they do their hair going to school, it's not going to last anyway because every little girl pulls it out.
Right.
And it's a nice way to calm them down to when they're having their lunch and stuff, just to braid their hair.
And, yeah. Have you ever had a bad review? Have they ever been like,
Well, you never just do it. Of course, you have to wait to be asked.
Sure, but then at the end, and how do you?
Oh, yeah, loads of times they won't like it. Do it again.
Take it out.
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy.
It's amazing that age they will get a hairdo and say it.
Yes.
But at a certain point you decide, no, I'm going to leave the hairdressers and bitch about her for the rest of the month.
So funny, because the last time I got my hair done was the first time in my whole life I was brave enough to say, I don't think this looks right. And I was so brave and so proud of myself, but still walked out of the hairdressers with the hair the same, because the hairdresser told me I was seeing things and it was fine. I was like,
she gaslit you.
She did. Turns out that she was right. It was fine. But and the main help for this guy, first of all, he needs to use more conditioner in her hair so that when he's brushing it, it doesn't hurt as much. next.
How much is more? Because I think I don't know. Lads definitely don't know.
Well,
what much conditioner? Like, well, why are those bottles the same size?
Well, I just think, you know, a little bit more than a, they say the size of a penny, but a little bit more than that, and rub it through from the top to the ends. And then when she's going to bed, plait the hair. But how does he know how to plait it? Guess what? Guess who Tina's friends with? Only the best hair person in town. A lady called...
But where does he live, this guy?
Yeah, but they're online classes.
Oh, of course.
Annis from Braid Maidens, who I'm always sharing because she's the best, has these online classes where you can just go online and watch how to braid hair. It's amazing.
This is massive, right? Just to make sure you catch the name. It is Braid Maidens.
Is that because of my braids?
And you will find it on Instagram.
Yes.
Or just Google it. This thing is blowing up right
She's
now.
She's brilliant.
And the idea at the core of it is, why is plaiting hair mom's responsibility?
Yes, actually, you're right. I didn't think of that.
That's the centre.
A lot of her classes are for dads.
For men.
Because
somewhere along the line, it was decided, now that's for the girls.
Yeah.
When it's like literally, this is a fundamental necessity.
Yeah.
It's a practical thing. That is does not make you a ponce if you do it.
It's also bonding. It's a real bonding experience for the dad and the girl. Yeah. And it's great to, for the girl to not think, it's only mommy who can do my hair. Yes. Look, she's a massive success. Her idea has been a massive success.
Shout out to Annis.
And even just yesterday, I don't know if you'd follow Laura Whitmore, another person who I think is one of the nice people in the world. She gifted her husband, you can have Annis come to your house if you live in the UK. And him and a few of his friends, they all had those weird heads that I'm actually quite afraid of. Annis has so
like
many
girls
heads.
Girls' world heads.
She's so
with
many
hair
of them.
Coming out the back,
and she brings them with her and she shows them all these different techniques. And no joke, by the end of the hour,
they'll all
can do it. It's like, unbelievable.
It is very special.
So I would direct him to Braid Maidens.
On behalf of all the men involved here going, oh, Jesus, no, that's more work for me if I do this. No, I learn how to plait. Now I'll be expected to do it the whole time. You have no idea how many brownie points are available. Lads.
Yeah.
Like, this is better than not waking up your wife in the morning.
Yeah.
I posted this on Instagram this week that women are being woken up by their husbands routinely across
for sexy
the world.
Time.
Yeah. Well, I maintain that's the reason for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because all men have the fantasy of being woken up for sexy time. And that is not most women's fantasy.
Yeah.
Their fantasy is uninterrupted sleep.
Yeah.
Or another fantasy is, imagine I came down and her hair was plaited already. Like, they're going to be like, you did that.
Yeah.
Like, if you went off on the sly, got Braid Maidens,
yeah,
took a Braid Maidens online course, learned how to plait, and then one morning didn't wake her up, put coffee by the bed and plaited her hair. I mean,
yeah,
the brownie point bonanza you're going to hit.
You're right, Jerry, you're onto something here. But also, I wanted you to do, because Annis was actually our neighbour in England, and I love her. I miss her so much.
But you wanted me to learn to plait your hair.
Yeah.
Not Mikey's hair.
Yeah, well, obviously, Mikey's hair is never long enough to plait. But I really wanted Jarla to do the...
Wouldn't do it.
You didn't have time. But there's still time, Jared, because there's online courses. Anyway, it sounds like we're plugging Annis.
Well, it's the answer to his question.
Yeah, it is the answer to his question.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. And she's not just for dad. She's for mom. She's for kids. She's for grandparents. And she's lovely. I love her.
And this, and like for this dad, I love that he admits that, like, I do feel like I'm walking through the world and the eyes have opened. My kid's 13.
Yeah.
And I still feel like I'm so tired the last week. That kind of foggy, hungover fatigue.
Yeah.
I definitely come out of it at times, but like, you're not alone, pal.
No. And maybe he is an alone parent though, because, you know, it's a lot and it's something you didn't think was a big problem. But actually, if you're doing your little girl's hair every day, it can be a nightmare. Like, the amount of parents I've had turn up to school who just throw the hairbrush at me and some bobbins because they're like, you deal with that. I can't get her to do her hair. Yeah, hair is a big issue in houses.
Wow.
I learned to do my hair pretty fast because my mother used to take out her bad mood on my ponytail.
No.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did. And I bet she wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm finding myself out on these runs, preparing for London Marathon. Did I mention I'm running a marathon? London Marathon, April 21st, running it for Kidney Care UK. If you want to donate towards my cause, I would love that. Because honestly, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Yeah, you've done two marathons, easy. And this marathon is...
redonkulous.
I mean, every time you go out for your long run, I've had to come and collect you. Because you haven't made it home.
I've made it home.
That's a worry, I think.
You'd have to say. I mean, parenting-wise, it's the equivalent of every time you're trying to put the kid to bed, I find you sitting in the garden. You know? This is like the long run is the most fundamental part of it. Getting the kids to bed is the most fundamental part of parenting because it's their rest.
Do you know, I still remember how awful I was as a kid. I think it's so funny that we do this parenting podcast and I'm always advising parents on how to get their kids to bed. I remember the pure joy I used to take from having my dad put me back to bed, me waiting a few minutes, going to the top of the stairs, shouting, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And when he'd come out eventually, go, "What?" I go, "Love you," and run back into bed. I used to do that like 100 times a night. I just remembered there. I didn't mean to interrupt your story, but I totally
like
just remembered.
That sounds like an email we'd get.
Yeah.
I put her to bed and then she comes out and screams my name.
Yeah.
I have to get up from the couch.
Yeah, he's tired
says,
too.
"I love you," and then goes back to bed.
Yeah, and then I do it again.
Well, it'd be worse if you had said, "Where'd you be if I hadn't called you?"
Oh, that would have been brilliant. If only I knew you then.
Well, I've lost my train of thought, and clearly what I was saying wasn't that important.
Sorry for interrupting.
I'm getting so good at the passive aggressive emotional abuse shit. So,
so get ready, Tina.
Okay, so let's get to it. Question number two. "Hi, Jarlath and Tina. New listener to your podcast. Where have you been? I am currently married." It's not currently married.
He said recently.
I mean, we're all... imagine you said that. This is my current wife.
Yeah. Although we did get a question this morning from one of our friends on, "Have you been to anybody's second wedding yet?"
So I didn't understand what that question was. Were they people that are married getting married again?
No, to other people.
Getting married
to
new people.
Yeah.
No, haven't been one of them yet. Yet. I might be at my own.
Give us time.
Oh, Jesus.
If you're lucky.
"New listener to your podcast. Where have you been? I am recently married, not currently married, and in the process have gained two new to me children, 9 and a 5-year-old. Boys, the youngest is just what he is, a 5-year-old that is loving, adorable, and not so often has the occasional meltdown. The oldest was good until we got married and I moved in. He frequently has meltdowns, throws tantrums, breaks things in the house, has stolen money out of my wallet, refuses to go to school, has actually struck his mother, and out of anger and repeatedly screams at us."
Oh God.
"I feel like the issue is several things. So I'll list what I feel and hope there's some advice that can be given that can help. Holy moly, what an email so far."
I know,
far.
I mean, but I feel like
thank you for
this,
sharing this, because you're definitely not the only person going
through
this.
And also this poor little kid, though, he's obviously very confused.
Right, so he says here, "This kid idolizes his father, who can't, and he can't get over the fact that he and my wife will not be together, and feels like I'm the reason that his dad and mom won't be together."
Fair enough, like, he's an
again, very common, very common. "He feels like I'm taking his mom from him. He was never made to be responsible for his actions before now. So now I'm making him clean up after himself. And his mom is also enforcing this. So he feels like his whole life is changing." Obviously, you're a big ogre. This is the thing. Yeah. "Oof, here we go. I spanked him once because he got very unruly and broke 2 televisions, threw a ceramic figurine at his mam and hit her in the head with it. Probably not my finest hour as a parent. And his dad found out about it and called me a child abuser. Now the child says I'm an abuser I'm sorry for this long email, but I'm at my wit's end, and this, and wit's end with this kid. Any advice would help me.
Well, first of all, I have to say off the top, I don't think it's ever okay. I can't okay the fact that you spanked your kid.
Oh, I don't think he's proud of it.
Yeah, but still, you got to avoid that.
It's done now.
Yeah, but it's not okay, Jar.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's okay, and neither is he. He's saying it's obviously a massive,
But I feel like, you know, fair enough, you want to come into you have come into his home, you know, the little kid's home that he shared with his mother and his brother before you got married to his mother. That's a huge change. He's had to get used to his dad leaving that house, his mom meeting someone else, and them getting married, and then moving in. So she's obviously been quite respectful to her boys and tried to make it as easy as she can. But still, it hasn't been an easy enough transition for this guy, because he's 9 years old and he feels invaded. His space has been invaded by this person that he doesn't love yet. You know, his mom loves this person, but he doesn't love him yet. He loves his dad and he wants his family back together. These are all very reasonable things for that child to be angry about. So if I was to give this man any advice, it would be, I really think while it's a nice idea to have him doing chores and taking responsibility in the house, pause that, put it on a shelf, and work on your relationship with him first. You gotta find a way for him to like you. Like, when we're in teacher training college, the first thing they tell you is make those kids fall in love with you, so that they think you're the best part of their day and they'll do what you say. He's come into the house and he's given out orders and changing everything. No kid is going to react well to that. Now, I get that this kid is being angry and unruly, but he did say at the start of the email, these are all new behaviours that have only started since he moved into the house. So he has to take responsibility for the fact that that kid wasn't prepared enough for the change, and that he's making too many changes too fast. And this kid is acting out because he's unhappy, frustrated, and doesn't know what's going on.
So in what you're saying there, to me, there's a lack of unity, right?
Right.
So mom and the new dad.
Yeah.
I think they need a really clear line on what they're saying here, because I feel like it's not been made clear that it's not me wading in over the top.
But he said your she mom, has him back.
But this is the point. There's like, when he said they are of the opinion that I took her.
Yeah.
So she hasn't made it clear along the way.
Oh, I think there's a lot of things choice that have not been said. Yeah. They need more open discussion. But I really feel like, fair enough, come in with rules down the way.
Yeah.
But right now you're settling into their home.
Mm.
And I get that maybe you're paying bills and you're big guy in the house, but these kids are adjusting to having another dad in their life.
Mm.
Go easy on them.
This is really good, Tina, because I think that's quite going to be a hard one for this guy to take in, because at the end of the day, he's only got his own childhood to go back on, right? So he's saying, I was happy as a kid because I knew where I stood. I knew what the rules were.
Yeah, but this kid's been messed about, not on purpose, obviously. It's very unfortunate when marriages break down, but he's had to live through his dad not living in the house anymore, his family crumbling. I mean, this guy has a lot of work to do, because he has spanked this child. Like, this child, there's no way this child has any warm feelings towards him. He's got to really do a lot of work. I would suggest in that house they need to do family meetings, so that there's a fairness, an air of fairness comes into the house where they all agree on things, where mommy talks about the fact that, I know this has been a big change. Mm. This is all very different. Yeah. We want our house to be a happy house. We want you to know that your dad is still in your life. This guy is not replacing your dad, but he is going to be your stepdad, and this can be really nice. We just all have to work together. And then I really think that him and that little boy gonna need to do some fun things together.
Mm.
And then, you know, down the road, if they continue the family meetings, eventually they can go, okay, this family meeting, we want to start taking responsibility for ourselves within the house. We want people to have jobs. Let's all think of three jobs that we think are acceptable for us to do within the house. And let's try and make it that this is a house that participates in everyone having an active role. But like coming in hard, like it's just not going to work. The kids, it's just going to get worse because that kid is just going to resent you. And you need to, like, he deserves a chance. He's a, like, if he was not behaving like this before, I'm sorry, you're the problem, because you didn't prepare him properly. You've come in and you've changed too much.
Yeah.
And he's acting out, because who wouldn't?
What about the abuser accusation? What do you do with that?
Well, that's a tough one, because obviously the husband is happy to give out about this dad. I mean, I think he did hit the kid. He's obviously not an abuser, but he did hit the kid, and that's not okay. But I think that's one for the mom to have a talk with the kid about.
Mm.
And maybe at some point when the relationship is a bit better, he needs to apologize for that.
It's a really tough one, because you can imagine that, like, a threshold's been crossed. You know?
Oh, yeah. I would say that kid doesn't like him.
Yeah. So you say make him fall in love, and you said fun activities. Like, this is going to be, this is like, we have to believe it's possible.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's so easy with kids, especially if he's still only 9. Like, what do you need to do with that kid? Pay him the odd compliment? Tell him that I really appreciate your help with this. Oh, I saw how you were with your brother today. It was really cool to see you do that. I see you're making an effort. I really appreciate it. I mean, just all these things will make him think, oh, you're not so bad. Kids are so easy. That's why it's awful when they're taken advantage of, because that little boy just wants love. Mm. If you give it to him, he will receive it. Mm. There's a bit of work to do here now. Obviously, yeah, he's acting out a lot. Take a
break from the authoritarian.
Take a break. Take a break from trying to be in charge in that house. You've come into their home. Let them settle into the idea.
Flipping hell. And it's a really common problem, because it's a cliche in movies. You're not my real dad.
Mm.
You know, it's a real common problem.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine you can find quite a lot of help on this.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Jared, because I feel like mom should go to the school counselor. That kid needs to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
He's got so much anger. He needs someone to listen to what he's angry about, because, you know, he's only a little guy.
Yeah, and just allowing him the space to vent would just, like, I mean, we listened to somebody talk about jealousy today, and we were like, I just thought, you need to talk to somebody about that. You know?
Yeah.
And these feelings this kid has, he might not act out the way he is if he's feeling heard somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So even just a cursory glance through Amazon, there's so many books on being a stepdad. My Stepdad for Girls, that seems to be a big one. There's just dozens and dozens of books on this.
Okay.
And similarly, I would imagine TikTok and YouTube are going to have channels specifically for stepdads attempting.
Like, I'm sure this guy's not going to have liked my answer, but I will always think of the child. That's my job. And for me, you've come in too hard and heavy. Mm.
This is the book that I think they're recommending. The Step-Parent's Parachute, The Four Cornerstones of Good Step-Parenting by Tom Thorne. That's an easy find and has a ton of really good reviews there. So even just educating yourself around that, maybe probably back up a lot of what you're saying, Tina, that,
well, who knows?
There's a time in the future for you to lay down laws, but now
but
is not.
Establish the relationship first, big time.
You know, in the last question, we talked about a threshold being crossed or a glass ceiling being broken, a line crossing, breach. I definitely think cursing growing up, that, like, the day you told your parents to F off for the first time. Now, I never did it.
Oh, I did.
Never actually told them to F off. But that's a line, right? That's a point at which She's like, well, I've told my parents. Therefore, did it multiple times.
Not multiple times, but I remember one time telling my mother to F off and running and thinking, I'm actually quite a fast runner.
I can say this more often.
I was like, I'm actually very fast. I might give this running a go.
Yeah. There's cursing and running.
Oh, I knew not to do the cursing again. Jesus. There's nothing worse than sitting in the only room in the house that has a key, which in our room, in our house, was the toilet. Sitting on the toilet knowing that whenever you leave, you're going to get the wooden spoon. That was 80s parenting. And thank goodness we've all gone. We only use them for bacon now.
Well, hopefully. There's enough houses where it's still happening.
Do you think so? I hope not.
I am probably proof of what happens when you never get a slap.
I know. I couldn't believe you never got a slap.
A finger. Now, I know my brothers and sisters did, but not the youngest.
And controversially, I always say, you could have done with a few slaps.
I think I could. I agree.
I don't agree with it at all. But in your case, in the 80s, you needed a few.
No. I mean, you've given me enough emotional digs.
Oh, that's not true.
You got me in line. Like, I was so confident before I met you.
Yeah, you did. You are lacking in the confidence. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Looks into the distance. this final email, just, I love it so much. Because Kieran, little kid's curse. I just love it.
Remember your nephew? My nephew was so cute.
Where are my fucking socks?
Fucking this, fucking that.
And he was only
your dad was two. Getting, he was only two, and he wasn't actually saying that
where
much.
Are me fucking socks.
He was a very quiet child.
Yes,
but adored your dad.
Yeah,
and but your dad thought, cursed a lot.
But he thought it was an adjective.
Yeah, he didn't know he was cursing.
He wasn't frustrated with his socks.
No.
He was literally going, "Where are my fucking socks, Mum?
Where's my fucking shoes? My fucking coat?" He thought everything had a fucking in front of it.
Yeah. Tina and Jar, please help my potty mouth kid. My 5-year-old son is using a lot of undesirable language, which words? Say them. While playing with his 3-year-old brother.
Aww,
he doesn't get his way.
Uh-oh.
I mean, we all did that. For example, when playing with his brother, he will often say, "Stinky poo-poo head." Oh my God. That's the same as calling him the C word. Stinky poo-poo head.
This is so cute.
I mean, stinky poo-poo head. Tina, like, that's basically, that's low.
Sure.
He's saying his brother's head is made out of shit. Awful stuff.
Charlotte.
Or punchy, punchy.
Oh, this is very cute.
Repeatedly. Punchy, punchy.
He's saying what he wants to do.
What was it? My other niece says, slow coach.
Yeah, that's her big insult. That's the cutest
Come
thing
on,
ever.
Slow coach. Naughty. Anyway, he says it in a nasty, teasing voice and can be passive aggressive at times. He'll say things like stinky mama or slappy mama when he's asked to do something. He's not happy or doesn't get his way. He'll gesture to try to squeeze my arm in an aggressive way.
I'm sorry for laughing.
I'm sorry. I guess that this is a serious issue.
I'm so sorry for laughing.
Because if you can't get your kid to stop doing something like this, it does escalate.
Yeah, of course. He's five.
This
is
a really important name.
He's quite big.
I'll always warn him. I want him to stop speaking like that and warn him there will be a consequence.
That's pretty good.
He usually does continue and will often try to change the word to a rhyming word.
Oh, clever child.
I said pinky foo-foo head.
That's very clever.
What's wrong with that?
She might have a little poet on her hand.
This evening, it happened at bedtime, so I took a page off his story. Oh, he didn't get closure on the tale that you were reading him. I'm not making light of this, but like that is a good consequence.
Yeah, no.
I like that because the story is so...
That's a brave consequence too because he might be crying to bed.
Getting a page taken off this. I think that's a great consequence.
I hope she didn't take the page out of the book.
He gets upset.
That'd be terrible.
But then it will happen again. Any advice?
Well, I'm so sorry that I find your email incredibly cute.
Me too.
I mean, he could be saying a lot worse things.
Yeah. Maybe list a few.
I think what might be a nice idea for you, though, is that he seems to be attracted to language, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's having fun and experimenting with words. So what I would say to you is not get on board with the stinky, stinky poo-poo head, but I would definitely get on board with seeking out some rhymes and songs and stuff, silly songs that you can share together. You know, then I would also suggest he needs to work on his feelings. He needs to get better at expressing himself.
I thought you were going to say straight away that, like, he's just venting.
Yeah, he needs better
frustration.
He's not quite sure. He's reacting with anger. He's not quite sure how to articulate how he's feeling. He's going straight to the thoughts he's having. But you need to work on his feelings, definitely. You need to say things to him like, instead of giving out to him for what he said, you need to say, I can see that you're getting angry. I'm sorry that you're feeling so angry. What is making you feel angry? And get him to talk about it. Get him to think about it.
That's quite hard when there's another kid who's crying, going, he got me, stinky poo-poo.
Yeah, I know.
Like, do you take him out of the room for that?
Well, it depends. If the other child is safe, fair enough. But, like, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that in front of the other kid, because you're modelling what you want that kid to do too. I mean,
so you say, I see you're angry.
Yeah, I can see you're angry. Something happened. Something has happened to make you feel angry. Tell me, I will listen. Let's fix it together. Sometimes when you say to a kid who's in that state, I can see that you're angry, they're so relieved because they don't quite know how to tell you or what they're feeling. So they will, that can be enough for them to just snap out. Obviously, I think, you know, books like The Colour Monster, I know I'm always banging on about The Colour Monster, but it is a great book for this age. You could read it with both of your children.
Explain The Colour Monster again.
The Colour Monster is just a beautiful pop-up book about a monster who is very mixed up about his feelings. So on different pages of the books, he's different colours. And it explains that, you know, sometimes, you know, when he's red, he's really angry.
Right.
And how it feels to be angry. And when he's green, he's really calm. And then at the end, he's all the colours. And he says, sometimes I just feel so mixed up, I don't know how to feel. And it's just really good because children, that is how children feel sometimes. And then there's little exercises in it where they can, you know, talk about the colour they're feeling. If they can't quite get the word or the emotion, they can say, you know, I'm feeling a bit blue, I'm feeling a bit brown, you know.
So The Colour Monster is...
That is not it.
The Colour Monster, I know it's not... I get that the book that I'm looking at does not have The Colour Monster written on it. But thanks for straightening that out, Tina.
Sorry.
So the book Colour Monster is available everywhere, obviously. But the book that seems to be doing really well at the moment on this very subject is called Listening to My Body.
Oh, fab. I don't know that one. But
A guide to helping kids understand the connection between their sensations. What the heck are those? And feelings. Mm-hmm. So they can get better at figuring out what they need. Now, this thing has nearly 5,000 five-star reviews. It's by Gabby Garcia.
Fantastic.
We may even grab a copy ourselves.
I love to hear new books. I mean, I saw this gorgeous reel on Instagram the other day of a mom who's obviously armed her kids with being able to express their emotions and calm themselves down.
It sounds so highfalutin, but it's not.
No, and it was so cute because the mother of these tiny little boys was telling them, what you're doing is making me feel angry. Mm. And they were like, Mom, you need to breathe. I was like, turning it on them. And that is what happens with kids. They learn the skill and they will use it on you. And you have to be ready to embrace that and practice what you're trying to teach them.
Let's grab a copy of this because the back cover of this book, as I said, Listening to My Body by Gabby Garcia says, the more I practice listening to my body, the better I get at responding with care and kindness for myself. I mean, this is a book all bleeding grown-ups need.
Yeah.
Help your child build on their capacity to engage more mindfully, self-regulate, and deepen their sense of well-being. You can also visit listeningtomybody.com for their downloadable resources that accompany the book.
That's brilliant.
So this one does sound like a game changer. We'll grab a copy ourselves.
Well, that it does sound amazing, but The Colour Monster is quite pretty and the children kind of interacted.
I love the Colour Monster.
Guys, that's our show for the free platforms, but come on over to patreon.com/IrishmanAbroad where we're going to talk about those parents that are feeling overwhelmed, those that are feeling like, this is not what I signed up for. If you ever feel that and you need somebody to empathize, then I have a feeling our next two emails over on patreon.com/Irishmanabroad in the extended cut of our episode is what you will need.
I think we also have a question about moms and mom friends.
That
I found really interesting and related hard to.
Okay, so that's the politics of the playground or the pickup. That's going to be great. As I say, every single week there's an extended cut, an extra chunk of material. Five or a month is the price of a nice coffee. And in return, we will be able to keep making this show. Like, I'd love to keep making this show.
Yeah.
But we can't without that support, unfortunately. There are overheads and expenses that come with doing this in terms of hosting and uploading and all the rest of it. We do need your help to do it. So if you could, and if you're in a position to, €5 a month over at patreon.com/Irishmanabroad, and you get access to everything, all our episodes from all the Irishman Abroad podcasts. And if you can't, well, maybe somebody here listening now who can, well, you're paying for those people who can't afford it. So thank you so much for supporting the show, for listening to the show. And Tina, thank you so much for all your expertise.
Thank you, Charlie.